Shabbat Shalom. So good to see all of you here, including all those who are stuck in the lift just now. We are so happy that you are here also. And really, it's such a joy to see the family come back together on this day of worship and our communion meal. Now, today is a very special day because, I have a friend here. I'll call him a friend. Of course, he's a great man and done great many exploits. Pastor Bill Wilson, he was involved in the negotiation for the release of the missionaries from Haiti recently. I got injured in that process. He's done two tours of Ukraine, and the list just goes on. It just goes on. He's climbed the mountain in Africa, at this age, I have a problem climbing up to my house in my HDB block. But more than anything else, he's a friend. He's a friend. And I know him as someone, in Singapore, we like to say NATO, right? N-A-T-O. You know what that means, right? No action, talk only. Well, he's the opposite of that. He's a man of few words. While most people are thinking about what to do, he's out there doing it. It's a little bit crazy, but I think we can forgive him for that. So today, we are very happy to have Pastor Bill Wilson bring the message. But before he does, we have a video that we're going to roll right here. So can we just go ahead and roll that video right now?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stained by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared.
Church, would you help me to welcome bus driver and pastor of arguably the largest Sunday school in the world, Pastor Bill Wilson.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, give God a praise. That's why we're here. It is great to be back in Singapore after all this 3 years. And I got my sticker right here. It's important. I'm official. Thank you, folks. I have been, I don't know how many vaccines I've had in these last couple of years. I had one on this arm. I had one on this arm. I think I had another one in my head. I don't know. But, you know, it's been an interesting time for us in New York. Obviously, when the pandemic hit that thing, it was tough times, as it was here. There's a lot of things this weekend that I want to share with you folks about. I'm going to be doing two different messages tomorrow, totally different than the one I'm going to be bringing you this afternoon. But to me, when you have a relationship with a church like this, as I believe I do, and have for now almost 15 years, when you have a relationship with an individual, and this is important, and I wanted to share this first of all, because when you've been in the ministry for 50 years, like I have, and many of you know me, I've been back and forth here, been going to Singapore for almost 20 years, but when you get a chance to know a church, I speak somewhere every weekend. I drive the bus. That's my red bus. You saw it in the video. I drive my bus on Saturday in New York City, have Sunday school there, and I leave every Saturday evening to speak somewhere. That's what keeps the wheels of the ministry all over the world moving, is me being out, casting vision, sharing with people, letting people know that one person really can make a difference. So obviously, I'm in a different church every week. So I'm a church expert, whatever that means. Maybe not a church expert, but I think I'm a people expert. And so I want to tell you this, because this is important to me to share this. I'm going to be 74 years old this year. I've been shot twice. I've had 5 concussions. Been stabbed 4 times. I've been in 3 plane crashes. And I've worked with Christians all my life. I don't know which was more traumatic. Getting shot in the head, or working with Christians. But I feel like at this point in my life, in this season of my life, I feel like I can say some things maybe I couldn't even say several years back when I first started coming here. But I want you to know, he said, I'm his friend. I hope all of you understand that what he said and what I want to say, he is one of my greatest friends that I have. I hope you know how God has blessed you with this man of God sitting here. And I want you to give the Lord a praise for the man of God. Come on, folks. I understand what you've got in the front row. I get it. Thank you, sir, for being my friend. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of things that I want to share with you folks this weekend. As I said, I'll be doing 2 different messages tomorrow. When I came on my last tour from Ukraine, and I'll touch on a few things in this service, and more, of course, tomorrow as we move through the day. But I was invited by the United States Army to go to Ukraine to work with the Ukrainian Army, spent some time in Kharkiv in the Donbass area on the east side where most of the fighting is now. And I was asked to go and speak to some mothers there that the Russians forced them to watch them violate their little daughters in front of them. I will not go into detail for that for many reasons. When you've seen enough people killed in front of you, like I have, and you've seen children killed in front of you, there's a lot I want to talk to you all about this weekend. But the purpose of me sharing the message that I want to share with you in this service is to answer the question that when I left Kharkiv, drove two buses with over 50 families, mothers and their daughters that were ripped to pieces by the Russians. We drove 32 hours across Ukraine. I got them to Poland, took them to the Warsaw hospital. And someone had asked me when I got there after that 32-hour drive, they said, "What did you see? What did you see when you were trying to counsel those little girls? When the mothers were made to watch their daughters get several of them just ripped to pieces." They said, "What did you see?" And when you try to explain something to folks, and even though you've seen it yourself, to try to communicate it, it's not an easy task. So my assignment this weekend with you is to try to communicate some things that I'm not sure that I'm even capable of communicating. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will do my best. I'll be out after the service. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see some of you. It's been so long. Some of you I saw when I came in. But I'll be asking you a question in this service, and I will keep asking you the question until I believe you will be forced to answer. And so, Father, the few moments I have with my friends in this service today, that you will speak to us as only you can. Give me a clear mind. Give me a clear voice. Because, Lord, we live in a time in world history that's changing quickly. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will understand that it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up with a loud voice and be counted and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a lot of things you'll get a chance to see after the service. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but there are a few things that I think some of you may be interested in. I think the book, of course, Whose Child Is This?, is the book that really answers the question in a different sort of way that I'll be asking you in this service. It's in 32 different languages. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. But it will, again, force yourself to look at life a little bit differently. Who has never read this book? Let me see your hand. Never read this book. Hold up your... Oh, come on. Where you guys been? I've been coming here long enough. Wait a minute. Let me get down here. Hang on. They use these steps just for me. They do this only once a year. All right. Who's never read this book? Whose child is this? Let me see your hand. Here you go. Merry Christmas. There you go. You're welcome. There'll be a lot of things. People ask me, how do I have time to write these books? I write them on the plane. Now there's, in these last couple of years, with COVID, you don't get food on the plane. You don't get a smile on the plane. The restrooms usually don't even work very well on the plane. So I have plenty of time to write books. So I've got this one. I wanted to show you this guy. This one is called Elephants of Relevance. Interesting little book. People are using them for cell groups as a study guide, but it's the perfect book. It's my only hardback book. It's built on the thought, the 1,000-pound elephant in the room. It's things that people don't like to talk about in church, but I love talking about stuff like that. So these are 50 church elephants in here. And some folks, when you start talking about these elephants, people may get bothered or they may get offended, but it's perfect because this is a hardback book. So if they get offended, you smack them in the head in Jesus' name. Because, you know, if you're going to smack somebody in church, you got to do it in Jesus' name. You got to make it spiritual. So we've got a couple of those books, all kinds of things out there to see. We've got some of our official Metro Sunday School shirts that the kids that ride the bus. So some of the kids were asking about the T-shirts out there. A lot of stuff. But the most important thing that you will see on the table are these pictures. Why is this so important? Because many of you, over the years that I've been coming here, have decided to make a difference in one child's life. What does that mean? Most of you know my personal story. My mother, who was an alcoholic, left me on a street corner. She walked away. She never came back. I sat on that street corner for 3 days, no food, no water, until, and here's why the pictures you will see on the tables out there, that's why this is very personal to me. And most of you know me, and you know why this is personal. Because after 3 days, only one person stopped. He was an ordinary Christian. Ordinary Christian. His own son was in the hospital dying of leukemia. But he stopped. For me. Walked across the street where I'd been sitting, put his hand on my shoulder, and just asked me if I was okay. And I tried to explain to him my mother was gone, and I was just hungry. And immediately, he got me some food and water, made some phone calls, called for the van from his church that was taking kids to a Sunday school camp. He sponsored me that afternoon. Within 5 hours of him putting his hand on my shoulder on the corner, 5 hours, folks, he's sponsoring me to a Sunday school camp where I heard the story of Jesus for the first time. And because of what happened with that one ordinary Christian, now 250,000 children a week come to Metro Sunday School after all these years. Why? Because in 1960, one Christian cared enough for a little boy who was left on a street corner. For these years that I've been coming here, with you folks. Many of you have made that decision to sponsor one of the kids. That's what this is. You all have a chance. Go to one of the tables out there. Our team will be out there. I'll be out there answering questions. You will have a chance to pick your own child that was just like me and say, whatever it takes, we can take one kid that lives in a pretty difficult set of situations and makes a difference. I was thinking this afternoon, before I came to the service, of one of the boys. It's been over 9 years. I think it's about 9 years that I talked to you about a little boy in Haiti that was left on the side of the road. And some of our Metro gals found him. Joanne, do you have that first picture for me, please? If you can put that up there. I told you this story. It's got to be at least 9 years ago when I was here. And his family didn't want him, so they left him on the side of the road. And our girls sent me this picture. I told you this story, but I want to give you the backstory now, after 9 years. Somebody, when they saw this picture, they found out that I had, through a long series of events, got him from Haiti to the United States, was able to get him an operation to remove this tumor and really save his life. And yet, somebody, another ordinary Christian, heard this and said, Pastor Bill, we want to be the one that will help you save this kid's life. And they did. And because one more person said, we want to make the difference. Johan, give me another picture, please. That's after the operation. The doctors did a pretty good job. And yet, because someone heard about the need that I shared 9 years ago, they said, we want to be a part, we want to help. But now it's been 9 years later. The people that helped me save this boy's life said, we're going to keep praying for this little boy. We're going to believe in God to use him to make a difference. He was 9 years old when they found him laying on the street. He's 19 now. Johan, can you give me the next picture, please? Yeah. He's now a Sunday school teacher. Give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. Helping kids that were just exactly like him. I'm showing you this because it's been 9 years. This is what these pictures are about, folks. Like I said, this is personal to me. It's personal because I was the kid that was left on the corner. I was the kid that was left on the street. It's 42 Sing dollars a month. You can be as involved in the life of your sponsored child. We've been going before COVID for several years, taking folks that were sponsors from Singapore to go visit their sponsored child. If they sponsored one of our Metro kids in the Philippines, where they actually got a chance to meet their sponsored child. It was a couple of years before COVID, and one of our sponsors came with us. And the greatest joy that sponsor had was getting her sponsored child the first ice cream that they had ever had. I'll be out there as long as I need to be after the service. Thank you. For those of you that have been sponsoring, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing something. I'm crazy enough to do what I do, to go to Ukraine. We're getting ready to go by invitation of four governments in Africa to start Metro Sunday School in those four countries. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'll do this, and I'll continue to do it, but I think all of you know I can't do it by myself. And it's churches like this, it's folks like you that make a difference. Pastor, thank you as always for allowing me to share this. You can take that picture down, Johan. And it's because of one person. I speak about it, I preach about it, I try to convey it. It's always been about one person that makes a difference. Get your Bibles out quickly, if you will. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to speak to you just briefly. And as I said, it'll be two different messages tomorrow. But when those folks in Warsaw, when I unloaded the buses with the little girls and the moms, and the question that comes up to me from so many people is, Pastor Bill, what did you see when you were there? What did you see? What was the situation? Why was all of those things happening in the first place? And yet, everybody in the room right now, I'm going to ask you the question, and then I believe that the Holy Spirit will help all of us to answer it. What do you see? It's one thing for people to ask me. They've asked me to go on television and talk about it. That's fine. Talking to newspapers. What did you see when you were in Ukraine? And I'll do those interviews, and that's fine. But now the question that begs to be answered at this moment is, what do you see? It wasn't about what I saw in Ukraine. It's about, what do you see? In this 20th chapter of John, and follow me closely, and then I'll be out of your way. In this 20th chapter of John, the first Easter, and we've got Jesus' closest friends, Mary, Peter, and John, come to the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. And I wish I would have been there, because if I was, I would have asked them the same question I'm about to ask all of you. What do you see? What do you see? Mary, you knew Jesus. What do you see? The stones moved. The tomb's empty. What? Mary, what do you see? You knew him. I wish I could have talked to Peter that morning. What do you see, Peter? You saw Jesus do the miracles. You were the one that walked on water. What now? The empty grave clothes are there. Jesus is gone. But Peter, you saw the miracle. You lived it. You lived a miracle. What do you see? I wish I could have looked in Peter's eyes. Say, what do you see, Peter? Is it real? But then John, the disciple that Jesus loved, when he came to the tomb, oh, I wish I'd have been there. I wish I could have looked at John. I said, John, what do you see? So look at this and see what the answer that you would have given. Look there in John chapter 20. Verse number 1, first day of the week, Mary Magdalene comes early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and she sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And I'm not going to talk to you in a bunch of Greek. But that word see or seeth there in that first verse in the 20th chapter, it says, she sees the stone had been moved. That word see is a very, very interesting Greek word. It's the Greek word blepo, B-L-E-P-O, blepo. What does that word blepo mean in the Greek? Watch this, see if this makes sense to all of you. Mary looks in the tomb. It says that she sees the stone is moved. She obviously sees the tomb is empty. She sees, but it's a Greek word, blepo. You know what the word blepo means in the Greek? It means she sees, but she did not understand what she was seeing. Listen to me. How is that possible? Look at me. Don't miss this, folks. This is Mary. She knew Jesus. She heard his message. She saw the miracles. She knew the man. And she's looking in an empty tomb. She sees the stone is moved. She sees the tomb is empty. Seeth, blepo. Blepo, what does it mean? It means she sees it, but she doesn't know what she's looking at. She didn't know what she saw. So I ask you, how is that possible? Please help me answer this question. How is that even possible? When you know somebody that knew the man the way she did, saw the miraculous. I would love to spend time talking to you about some of the miracles that I've witnessed. I'm uniquely qualified to talk about the miraculous. I'll talk more about it tomorrow morning. Mary knew the man, saw the miracles, lived it, but yet, God help us, and yet, she doesn't get it. She just sees a stone moved. She sees a tomb empty. She heard Jesus say what he was going to do. She, and I think I can use this illustration, she's looking at what you and I would call a fulfilled prophecy. Because Jesus said what he would do. Now he's done it. She should have known, but she looks, she doesn't get it. Blepo. What do you see, Mary? Give me another picture, Johann, if you will, please. What do you see, Mary? Huh? What do you see when you look at this picture? This is in Haiti, like the other little boy I was just talking to you about. Our ladies found this woman laying on the side of the road. They had just got done doing Sunday school. This woman was laying on the side of the road, blood coming out of her nose, blood coming out of her mouth. Obviously, she looked pregnant. Our girls jumped out of the truck. They didn't speak the language, trying to get help. Nobody stopped. Everybody just kept on walking. I know how that feels. I know how it felt when I was on the side of the road for those 3 days. And nobody stopped for me. That was a long time ago. But you don't forget stuff like that, do you? No, you don't. And our girls were trying to help her. No one would help. Finally, they picked the lady up, put her in the Sunday school truck, got her to the hospital. But when they got her to the hospital, they found out that this woman was not pregnant at all. Johann, do you have another picture? When they got her to the hospital, this tumor had been growing in this woman for years. So let me ask you the question, what do you see now? 60 seconds ago, you thought you were looking at a pregnant woman. Apparently you were wrong, weren't you? I wonder what other things you may be wrong about. Take the picture down, please. Huh? What do you see, Mary? The question begs to be answered. Because sometimes either we see things that we don't really understand, or maybe we should understand things that we really don't. Blepo, she only saw with her eyes, but look quickly at verse 6. Then Peter comes into the tomb. He gets there, and he sees it's the same word now in verse 6. When Peter looks in and sees, as when Mary looks in, it's the same word, see or seeth. Mary looks in with blepo. Blepo. She looked, but she didn't get it. She couldn't get the pieces of the puzzle to come together. How, my friends, is that possible? Please tell me. Please tell me. She should have known exactly what she saw. Blepo. Just saw with her eyes. But now Peter, in verse 6, he comes to the tomb and he sees the linen clothes. Obviously, Jesus is gone. He's risen. He sees. But see, let me help you in your Greek. When Mary looked in verse 1, it was the Greek word blepo, meaning she just saw with her eyes. She didn't understand what she was looking at. Now, Peter comes in. It's the same word in your Bible, but in the Greek, it's the Greek word theorio, which is where we get the English word theory, theorio. Peter, he's looking in, and what happens? He starts to put what? He puts together a theory, a hypothesis of some kind. He's trying to figure out, is this true? Could it be? Is it possible? You were the one, Peter. You were the one that walked on water. You saw the miracles. You lived the miracles, Peter. But now, Peter is looking in the empty tomb, and he sees the grave clothes gone, Jesus gone, and he's trying to figure it out. What do you see, Peter? Theorio. He's trying to build a theory, trying to figure out, is it true or is it not true? Is he resurrected? I don't know. I want to believe it. Is he alive? He said he was going to be. But I don't know. I can't. God help us. He's trying to put a theory together. Huh? So I look at you and I keep asking the same question I would have asked them on that first Easter. I'll ask you again. What do you see? What do you see in life? What do you see? I wish some of you would go with me this next year in March to the Philippines. Walk with me. Go with me to the garbage dump where the kids live. Go with me to the North Cemetery where the most of the kids, where you'll see their pictures on the table. They live in a cemetery. They live in a graveyard. They live in a garbage dump. Please come. Please come. Walk with me. See, not here. See something. Mary, blepo, she only saw with her eyes. But then Peter, he looks in and he saw it with his mind. He was trying. He got a theory. He's trying to figure it out. Theorio. Huh? Johan, do you have another picture? What else do we have? Let me see what you got. Do you have it? Yeah, there it is. What do you see here? Huh. You know who that man is standing with me? That's the man who picked me up on the street. He was the ordinary Christian that walked across the street, put his hand on my shoulder and just asked me if I was okay. What do you see here? You don't see a preacher. You don't see somebody famous. You don't see. What do you see? That's what I'm asking you. What do you see? I'll tell you exactly what you see. You see an ordinary Christian man who was on his way that day to visit his own son who was dying of leukemia, and yet still he stopped and picked me up off the street. What do you see? Please tell me, folks. Please tell me. He was the one that saw the little boy that nobody wanted. That man saw something in me that my own mother did not see. So I asked the question, because the question has to be answered by all of us. What do you see? Take the picture down. And then last, in verse 8, John, he comes to the tomb. He comes to the tomb. It was the other disciple. He comes to the sepulcher. And look at this, look at this. And then I'll be done. And he saw. And he saw. When Mary looked, she saw. It was the word blepo. She only saw it with her eyes. In verse 6, when Peter saw, it's the Greek word theorio, he saw with his mind. But then verse 8, when John gets there, he saw, guess what? It's another Greek word again. Well, maybe you never saw this, did you? You're seeing it today. And he saw. And it's the Greek word eido, E-I-D-O, it's a silent E, eido. You know what eido means in the Greek? Well, it's the perfect transliteration. He saw. He came to the sepulcher, comma, and he saw, comma, and look at it, and he believed. He believed. He believed. Eido. He saw and he believed. No secret sauce. He didn't have to try to figure it out. He looks in the tomb and goes, uh-oh, yep, he's gone. He's alive. Remember the old song we used to sing in church? I remember it because I'm old. Some of you young people, maybe you don't know this one, and if you don't, you ought to. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within. Oh, some of you know it, don't you? Yeah, you do. Me too. Me too. And John looks in. Mary saw only with her eyes. Peter looked with his mind, but John looked with his what? His heart. He looked in, he saw it, it was real, and he knew that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive. And so, when I got those kids and moms to the Warsaw Hospital, and the people were asking me, what did you see there in Kharkiv, Pastor Bill? There was no way I was going to be able to even. I tried to explain things, but I don't think I could explain too well what I saw. But there was a little boy in my first run that was in the back of a house where the Russians had shelled it. And the little boy was in the wrong spot in the house. And the house had collapsed on him, and the medics were brought in. And I'm going to show you a video now that was shot live. And I'm going to ask you to watch it closely, because what you will see in this video is a Ukrainian soldier. And you'll see him in the shadow in the video as the medics are trying to save the little boy's life. You'll see the soldier holding his rifle. You'll see the shadow. And there's a word in Ukrainian, zasnik. Zasnik. What does that mean? Many of the Russian or Ukrainian soldiers, they were not trained to do this. But most of them get this. What they would do if a child, a little boy or a little girl, that's been injured or killed, the soldier would stand guard like this. And you'll see him in the video. And they'll stand there, and you'll see this soldier watching the medics when they're trying to save the little boy's life. He's standing guard. He's standing guard over this little boy. That little boy didn't make it. But even when the medics picked the little boy up, put him in the ambulance to take his dead body away, the soldier walked over, stood guard over this little boy until he was gone. I want you to watch this, because I want all of you to know I am your missionary. I take that pretty serious. I think I represent this church, and I think I represent all of you pretty well. And I hope all of you know that I have spent 50 years of my life standing guard for a generation, standing guard over kids that can't stand guard for themselves, just like that man did for me. I've spent my life standing guard. I want you to watch what happens when somebody chooses to say, I see the need, I see the situation, and whatever it takes, somebody has to stand guard. Johan, can you look at that, please?
Твою мову!
Давай сюда! Пидорасы, сука!
She was trying to explain that she had just put the boy in the back room, and a shell had hit the front of the house and the back of the house, and the whole thing fell in on the little one. And the rescue crews came in, they pulled him out of the rubble, laid him on the ground, and the medics are trying to resuscitate him. And there's a soldier standing there, and you can see him. You can see in the shadow, he's holding his rifle, and he's standing over the boy while the medics are just trying to save him. And there's a word in Ukrainian, zasnik. It means defender. But there's something about some of these guys, when there's a little boy, little girl that's been shot or killed, they stand there, and the medics are working on the kid. They're guarding. It's that zasnik. This little guy didn't make it. But still, because they were putting him in the ambulance, and he's done. But the soldier still stayed, and he stayed guard. Stand guard on this little dead boy. I've spent my whole life to try to be a guardian. I've been trying to stand guard to kids all over the world, trying to do the best that I can after all these years to stand guard. I'm trying to stand guard. Maybe some make it, some don't. But somebody has to stay guard. Thank you for letting me. Let's find me. Stay guard. Stay watch. Somebody has to. And I'll keep on doing it for as long as I can.
do you see? I know what I saw. I know what the soldier saw. And I choose to stand guard and make a difference. In Jesus' name, thank you.